Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast, your window into the world of AI innovation on the island of Ireland. Join us as we explore how AI is harnessed to tackle both business and societal challenges, revealing the cutting-edge solutions emerging from this vibrant AI community. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest updates and insights in the world of AI. Hi everybody, it's Mark Kelly, founder of AI Ireland and the AI Awards. I'm very, very happy to welcome Rena Maycock, and Rena is the founder of Kilter Technologies. Rena, thank you very much for joining us on the AI Ireland podcast today. We are talking to you because you and the team at Kilter Technologies are finalists for AI and Social Good, and we are really, really happy to have you. And today we would love to find out a little bit more about Kilter Technologies and the world of work that you're doing at the moment and how you're helping people. But before we do that, could you tell us a little bit of a 90-second bio about yourself?
So I am not a technologist. I'm now the founder of Kilter Technologies. So I came from a media background. I started off in the likes of radio stations like 98FM, then moved on to Sunshine. I had a variety of management roles and directorships. And the last job I had for the man, I was chief executive of a group of radio stations called iRadio. Then I went on to start my own matchmaking company randomly with my husband, which is still going strong. And then a few years ago, I had my kids and I became painfully aware of headlines of kids that have been systematically cyberbullied, groomed, sextorted from and coerced and pushed into the irreversible. And I became absolutely terrified for my kids in the future. And I started thinking, why is nobody dealing with cyberbullying and grooming? Surely there's a technology out there that deals with this and helps parents, but there wasn't. So then I started Kilter, and since then I run the company, I've secured funding, built a team, built a prototype, not me personally, the team has, and I write for The Currency, an opinion piece on a regular basis as a columnist, and that's on all things business. And then I was on the Commission on Taxation and Welfare as well. I was appointed by Pascal Donoghue last year, and that term came to an end last summer. So that's my own little bio.
Brilliant. It was great. No prep there as well. Just hit you on the spot with it. So well done. You did a great job with us. So as a parent, I can understand why this product was brought about, because our kids are using all sorts of devices and the technology racing way ahead. And suddenly you think your child is on one platform, but suddenly he's talking to his buddies on another platform, and you're thinking, where is this going to escalate? And depending on their age and the sophistication, and go in a variety of different directions. So tell us a little bit more about the problem you're trying to solve.
So yeah, when I was seeing these headlines and I was thinking about cyberbullying and grooming, I took a deep dive into the parental control market, and I found that the tools available to parents to protect their kids when they went on smartphones were apps. So apps operate on a peer-to-peer system. So you can download all of the best in show of parental control apps from the app stores, and there's 250 on Google Play, maybe 220 on the Apple Store. They'll all sit at the same application layer as messaging apps like WhatsApp and Messenger and TikTok and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, where an awful lot of cyberbullying and grooming happens in the main. But because they sit alongside each other and they operate in a peer-to-peer system, apps cannot access data within other apps. So they will never, ever be able to detect harmful messaging within other apps. So apps simply cannot ever technically deal with harmful user-generated content in messaging apps, again, which is where most cyberbullying and grooming is done. So, I mean, if you look at apps, for instance, they all share a variety of features. They have pornography blocking, gambling blocking. They've got access restrictions to stop your child becoming addicted to their phone. They have geofencing and geo-tracking, so you can find your child when they have their phone on them. But none of them can deal with cyberbullying and grooming. So we decided to invent this technology. We took a bit of advice at the time. The advice was patent first, build later. So we did. We patented our operating system modification. So the method by which we access all incoming and outgoing data, you know, in order to do it, it needs to be embedded technology at the kernel level of the Android OS. So it comes embedded in the device. So the reason we've done it is because you'll know this now, having your kids, smartphone ownership is on the rise, and you cannot stem the tide of technological advancement. And why would we want to either? I mean, there are so many manifest benefits to digital citizenship. You know, children can benefit from educational aspects, communication, entertainment, you name it. You know, back when I, you know, put my first grant application in for this and I was putting all the data together, at that stage, 25% of six-year-olds had their own smartphone. And Ofcom recently did their own research, which was backed up by our own Amoric research. And 20% of 3 to 5 year olds have their own smartphone now. 20% have their own smartphone. So the issue is not becoming, it's not getting smaller, it's getting bigger. So there is a need for this. And then all of the other research would, you know, it implies that these issues are getting worse and worse and worse and more pervasive. You know, CyberSafe Kids did a study there very recently and found that 25% of 8 to 12 year olds have experienced cyberbullying. And that's very high, 1 in 4. Like, think of all the primary school children that, you know, and 1 in 4 of them. And then it grows, you know, 12 to 16 year olds, 40% have experienced cyberbullying. You know, there's all of this research around grooming as well. You know, children are spending so much more time unsupervised since COVID on their phones. And we did a bit of research there recently with Amoric, and 80% of kids aged 11 plus that have a mobile phone only have some or none of their time is supervised. You know, parents are considering that their children at, you know, once they tip over 11, they get into secondary school, basically. They're considering that their relationship is good enough with their child that they can allow them have all this unsupervised time online. But it's at that time when they kind of need a little bit more supervision. So that's basically the reason why we're doing this. Smartphone ownership is rising, and the prevalence of cyberbullying and grooming and access to suicide and self-harm material is on the rise as well.
Very, very relevant. Very, very. How does technology help with this problem?
Well, look, the thing about this is, and we never want to say, you know, we're going to be able to catch 100% of cyberbullying, grooming and suicide and self-harm. There is no substitute for, you know, comprehensive parenting and engaging with your child, having open dialogue, education, all of the combination of all the awareness, all those things. But parents also need the technical tools as well to help them to protect their kids. So what we're doing is we're developing this Kilter software so that we can give parents an alert. If we detect the child is being cyberbullied or groomed, we block the message from the child. We send the child an alert to say, we've blocked a message because we think it contains something harmful and your parent has been notified. We send a notification to the parent and we say, we've blocked what we believe is cyberbullying material. Or we have detected that your child is trying to send a nude image of themselves and we're not allowing them to send it. Or we've detected that your child is accessing PINSPO material or ProAnon material, for instance. And here's advice on how you communicate with your child on this basis. So we're not spying on the child. We're not invading their privacy. They always know Kilter is working on the phone, but they have reasonably unfettered access to their device. But they know if we detect harm, then we'll be alerting their parent. The parent will be coming to the phone with them. So what we've been trying to do is reduce that familial conflict around smartphone use, because what's happening at the moment, your child gets into kind of like 10, 11, 12, you know, you give them a phone and then they start off with conditions and you go, you're only getting a phone if you have it on for an hour a day. And it starts, oh, yeah. They'd say mass just to get the phone. And then all of a sudden they have the phone and they're like, do you not trust me to have a little bit more access to my phone? And then just to reduce the conflict, parents are forced to give in through sheer pester power and also trust. You know, they're trusting their child is going to be aware of these dangers. But they're not in a lot of cases. Some kids are more mature than others. Some 11-year-olds would buy and sell you as if they're 18. And then some 11-year-olds are more like a 7-year-old because they're a little bit immature and they've been protected. So this is what we're doing. We're trying to create this enabling technology that empowers the child, empowers the parent, creates kind of a collaborative approach to online safety within the family where parents and child are kind of working together. There's no conflict. So that's what we basically have been trying to achieve. With this. And the tech itself has two different components to it. So it's got the operating system modification, which is the method by which we access all the incoming and outgoing data. But then we need to compare that data against AI-driven databases for threats. And those databases are a combination of language, image, and video. And what we're doing at the moment is we're building those bespoke data sets because we got this funding from the government, from the Disruptive Technology Innovation Fund, because we didn't just say we were going to, our approach was novel and disruptive and capable of disrupting the entire global market because there's nothing like this out there. But also we committed to developing these bespoke data sets. And as you well probably know, getting data is extremely, extremely difficult. So we have committed to this really unique approach. So we've done a big scoping exercise all over the world of what data sets are available out there of harmful content. And we have to date not been able to find any data sets that are verbatim language between victim and groomer in private or victim and cyberbullying in private. What's available out there at the moment is, you know, publicly scraped from Twitter, for instance, or Reddit, where you don't know what age the person, the contributor is. So it can't be attributed necessarily to a child or to an adult. So we are inviting parents and guardians to submit all this data so that they can kind of take a negative experience and turn it into something positive. So we're basically saying, if your child has experienced cyberbullying, can you give us that data fully anonymized? You know, we're running a scrubbing tool. We're making sure there's no PII involved. And that will enable us to optimize our detection efficiency. So it goes beyond keyword, key phrase analysis into elongated threat pattern analysis and that kind of thing. So that's what we've been at now the last kind of month or so.
Fantastic. And then tell us about some of the impact.
So look, the impact that we're trying to make is significantly reducing the instances of cyberbullying, grooming, and suicide and self-harm material. And that's by early detection of child sexual abuse online, early detection of bullying and prevention of cyberbullying, and preventing access and through browser searches or even through forums of suicide and self-harm material. Because these things, once they kind of start, they can escalate. You know, if you take suicide and self-harm, for instance, there's quite a bit of research to back it up that you get copycats. So what's happening now is, where, for instance, a 14-year-old girl might start accessing Thinspo material online, and then she'll get her friends involved in this Thinspo. And then all of a sudden there's a WhatsApp group and they're competing with each other for how much weight they can lose and how skinny they can get. And it's called achieving. You know, there's all of this, this kind of underground kind of activity around all of these awful things like suicide and self-harm material and cyberbullying and grooming. And what we're trying to do is unpick that for parents and make sure, as much as we possibly can, we'll never have 100% detection efficiency, but we can do come as close as damn as we can to early detection and alerting them before it's too late. You know, one of the things that I noticed in those headlines was these children were being pushed into suicide and parents were completely blindsided. In most cases, they didn't know there was any problem at all. And what you have now is, I was at a conference there recently, and one of the things that we need to take into consideration is the use of generative AI for entrapment purposes. Because what's happening now is organized crime are filling these rooms full of guys on, maybe girls, on laptops, and they're creating fake profiles so that they can try, like of a young girl, for instance, so that they can entrap a boy. They'll pretend to be an 11-year-old girl. They'll befriend an 11-year-old boy on Facebook. And they'll, you know, it could be an attractive 11-year-old girl or 12-year-old girl or whatever. And they'll try and get the child to send them a nude image of themselves. And then they will use that to blackmail and sextort from them, or else they'll sell those images. And so there's this organized crime thing around entrapment and sextortion and coercion. And it's very pervasive. But now you've got generative AI. So those big, huge rooms will shrink. You won't need as many people sitting behind a laptop manually coming up with Facebook profiles. Gen AI will be able to do it. So it'll be sextortion of children on an industrial scale. So these are things that we have to be cognizant of and make sure that we build into our technology so that we can stop young boys and young girls falling victim to these things. And that's the march of technology. Parents just need help. They can't possibly be expected to know all of this or protect their children against all of it.
Absolutely incredible, Rena. Absolutely incredible. Tell us about your future goals.
So the mission in the end is machine standard parental control available on all computing devices and to all children. You know, we're starting with smartphones, but very quickly in terms of our product roadmap, we'll move on to tablets, games console, desktop. And ultimately what we want to do is be available on all computing devices, because why shouldn't children be able to enjoy all the benefits of being online? You know, as I mentioned earlier, the communication, the entertainment, the communication. Why shouldn't they be able to do that? That's the future of digital citizenship. It's accountability and blocking bad actors. So that's the mission for us, is to achieve that.
Rita Maycock, Kilter Technologies founder, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Mark.
I'm really, really excited to unveil my new book, AI Unleashed, Navigating the AI Revolution as a Business Executive, which is now accessible to purchase on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. This publication is the fruit of half a decade's worth of meticulous research and high-level conversations with experts in the field, both in Ireland and globally. The book is particularly timely, featuring current discussions on AI governance in the European Union and North America. If you're aiming to grasp the full scope of AI, ready your enterprise for its transformative power, and utilize it to your advantage, this book is specifically crafted for you. It serves as a pragmatic guide, clarifying misconceptions and presenting real-world insights for leaders entering the AI sphere. The book covers an extensive array of subjects, from AI's role in diverse industries to generative AI applications, and provides guidance on avoiding typical missteps in AI initiatives, all supported by the most recent studies. Additionally, the book highlights case studies and applications that have earned accolades at AI awards throughout the years and emphasizes top-notch AI utilization in Ireland. For executives, polyarchitects, or technology aficionados seeking to make sense of the intricate world of AI, AI Unleashed, Navigating AI Revolution is your essential handbook. So it's now available on Amazon. This book furnishes you with the expertise and instruments required to deploy AI both effectively and ethically.
Join us at the AI Ireland Awards 2023, presented by principal sponsor Microsoft. On the 21st of November at the Gibson Hotel, Dublin 1, you'll discover the pinnacle of AI innovation on the island of Ireland. The AI Ireland Awards 2023 ceremony, proudly presented by principal sponsor Microsoft, celebrates excellence in data science, machine learning, and artificial intelligence, showcasing AI applications across multiple industries and AI for social good. Get your tickets at Eventbrite or AIIreland.ie.